Hey guys, I'd like to introduce you to a new podcast that I know you're going to love. Do you like travel? Do you like picturesque locations and getting away from it all? Well, this new podcast has all that and murder. It's called Slaycation, and it's a darkly humorous look at murders and mysterious deaths that took place on vacation. Hosted by a true crime fanatic, her comedy writer husband, and his TV producing partner, Slaycation brings a unique perspective to chilling, thrilling, and WTF stories of vacations gone horribly wrong. From the twisted tale of Harold and Tony Henthorne, whose romantic anniversary in the Rocky Mountains ended with one of them falling off a cliff, to Angelica and Vincent, two recently engaged lovebirds whose Hudson Valley kayaking adventure ended underwater. Each episode of Slaycation will have you asking, accident or murder? But it's not just the stories that'll intrigue you. It's the discussion between a longtime married couple and business partners who happen to be Emmy-nominated TV producers. Each episode of Slaycation also includes humor, takeaway and travel tips that will keep your next vacation from being your last. If you're ready to pack your body bags, Slaycation is available on all major podcast platforms. Search for Slaycation on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Richard Serrett. Join me on Strange Planet for in-depth conversations with the world's top paranormal investigators, alien abductees, Bigfoot trackers, monster hunters, time travelers, alternative archaeologists, remote viewers, and more.
As I was on the way to Area 51, I was stopping on the side of the road and just taking measurements, and I found this one spot where time slowed down by a fraction of a second. It's not supposed to do that.
From the two big categories, animal mutilations and human abductions, you have to conclude that genetic material is being harvested.
Well, I reached for a rifle, and I turned and looked, and it was already moving away, and it was descending the bluff. There's no way any human could have went down it. It was probably a 75-degree angle straight down, almost.
On Richard Serrett's Strange Planet, we're redefining reality. Listen now wherever you get your podcasts.
Do not go any further. Turn around. Go home.
Welcome, everybody, to the Strange and Scary Mysteries of the Month, where we find the craziest stories from all around the world currently going down and lay them out for you to wrap your head around. Thanks so much for tuning in. Here are the Strange and Scary Mysteries of the Month for April 2024. Number 5. 20 more victims for John Wayne Gacy. John Gacy, known infamously as the Killer Clown, was convicted of the murder of 33 young men and boys between 1972 and 1978. His crimes, which involved luring his victims to his home in Northwood Park Township, Illinois, torturing and then murdering them, have equally fascinated and haunted the public as well as law enforcement for decades. The sheer number of victims is staggering, and the way Gacy put on the appearance to everyone that he was just a regular guy is something you rarely come across. And recently, Karen Conti, a lawyer who was part of Gacy's defense team, has suggested that there may be up to 20 more victims of his, shedding new light on the possible scale of his crimes. Gacy was arrested back in 78 in his home, or more specifically, underneath it, revealed a gruesome scene. The bodies of 29 young men were found buried in the dirt under his basement and along the surrounding property, with others dumped in nearby rivers. He would go on to be convicted in 1980 and ultimately executed by lethal injection in 1994. Part of Gacy's M.O. involved disguising himself as Pogo the Clown to perform at children's parties, which he used as a cover for his dark activities, and is in part responsible for so many people nowadays being afflicted with chlorophobia, the fear of clowns. Karen Conti, who joined Gacy's defense team in the early 90s, recently spoke about her experiences and reflections on the case. Despite her initial fear, she took on the role in an attempt to confront what she described as pure evil. Over time, her interactions with Gacy, who she described as disturbingly ordinary outside of his crimes, led her to suspect that there were many more victims than those identified during his trial. Conti speculates that there could be as many as 20 additional victims, based on her discussions with Gacy and the gaps in his known timeline and activities. These victims, she believes, could be linked to times when Gacy traveled outside of Chicago, where digital law enforcement records that could have helped track his movements didn't exist yet. And this man was an insatiable killer, and so for him to have these cooling off periods that coincided with traveling didn't really seem to add up to Conti. She felt like more than likely he continued his crimes and simply they were never linked to him or the bodies never even found. And Gacy had a knack for spotting and picking up young troubled men who needed guidance, shelter, food, possibly beer, and he used that to his advantage to get up close and personal with them before attacking. Conti, though, says there are immense challenges in connecting Gacy's potential crimes in other jurisdictions due to the lack of integrated law enforcement databases at the time and just the sheer amount of time that has passed and evidence likely lost. This technological gap might have allowed Gacy to commit murders elsewhere without easy linkage to his known crimes in Chicago. The suggestion of additional victims has implications for both the historical record of Gacy's crimes and for the families still missing loved ones from that era. Law enforcement agencies might need to reopen cold cases or re-examine unsolved disappearances during the time Gacy was active. The development of DNA technology and national crime databases now offers hope that these potential additional victims might finally be identified. And this would provide closure to their loved ones and add a new chapter to the already chilling story of one of America's most notorious killers. Number 4, $30 million LA heist. In one of the largest cash heists in Los Angeles history, approximately $30 million was stolen from a money storage facility in the Sylmar area of the San Fernando Valley on Easter Sunday, April 2, 2024. And this heist is notable not only for the huge amount of cash taken, but also for the way they pulled it off. And currently, as of the making of this video, no one has been caught for the crime, but the LAPD and FBI are both working the case. On that day, the burglars managed to breach the building and access the vault without triggering any of the alarms, which suggests a high level of sophistication in their approach. While initially police figured it was an inside job with someone disabling the alarms, that wasn't necessarily true, as reports say the thieves broke through the roof to gain access to the vault, a method that circumvented traditional security measures like door sensors and motion detectors. The stolen money was reportedly located in a Gardeworld facility, Canadian-based security firm, and was comprised of cash collected from businesses all across the region. The exact method by which the thieves avoided detection and their exact entry point into the vault remains unclear, with ongoing investigations attempting to uncover these details. But it suggests these were experts in what they were doing, and they had planned it out perfectly. The cash in these facilities is untraceable, so they can use it wherever they want. Because no alarms were raised, no one even knew it happened until they came in the following morning. That meant the thieves had all the time in the world to move the money, and would have taken a long time as $30 million weighs around 600 pounds. They had to bring it up to the roof to get it out. But little by little, they took trips and they could have jumped onto any of the main highways in LA and booked it out of town, meaning they may never find out who did this. And this theft surpasses previous cash heists in the city, including the 1997 Dunbar armored robbery, which was the largest at that time with $18.9 million stolen. The current investigation is exploring all leads, including the possibility of insider knowledge given the precision of the operation. But by all accounts, these criminals have gotten away with it. Number 3, Scream Mask and a Chainsaw. Lahontan Borough, Pennsylvania, is situated about 75 miles northwest of Philadelphia. It's typically a peaceful community with a modest crime rate, which is why this sudden violent act shook the community and has also brought to light questions about safety in the town and everybody's well-being. The attack occurred on the afternoon of March 25, 2024, when 30-year-old Zach Moyer placed the mask from the horror film Scream over his face before unleashing a horrifying assault on his next-door neighbor, Edward Whitehead Jr., using a chainsaw and a knife. He mainly targeted the man's head and neck, and after he was done, Moyer simply returned to his home and watched a movie, displaying a chilling disconnection from the heinous act he had just committed. Edward, who was 59, was a longtime resident of Lahontan Borough, known among neighbors for his friendly and calm demeanor. Those who knew him couldn't believe what had happened to him. He would go on to be rushed to the hospital while he was alive, but unfortunately, he didn't make it. Zach had no prior criminal record in Pennsylvania, though he was described as becoming increasingly troubled in the weeks leading up to the attack. Moyer had reportedly expressed intentions to some people that he was going to harm Whitehead prior to him doing it, but the reason behind it exactly was unclear. Apparently, it was just that he was his neighbor, someone close by to a deranged individual, an individual who manifested ideas in his head that were not true. Following the murder, local police, supported by state authorities, quickly apprehended Moyer at his residence. They found him watching the TV, and he didn't put up much of a fight. He's now charged with criminal homicide. Moyer's arrest brought some relief to the community, but also started a complex legal journey. As the case progresses through the judicial system, it highlights challenges in dealing with cases involving mental health and violence. The murder has ignited a broader discussion on community safety and the measures needed to prevent such tragedies. Lahontan Borough has seen vigils and community meetings addressing mental health support and safety. The legal outcomes for Zach may also set precedents for handling similar cases, underscoring the need for a balanced approach to justice that considers both punishment and rehabilitation. And this man loved his movies and finally decided to make one of his own, only there were no cameras around to catch the act in real time, and his killing was anything but fake. Number 2, cold case linked to BTK solved. The chilling mystery surrounding the 1990 murder of Shauna Garber, a case that remained unsolved for over 3 decades in Missouri, has finally been resolved. Initially, suspicions had circled around 2 notorious serial killers, Dennis Rader, also known as the BTK killer, and Larry Hall. However, recent breakthroughs have cleared their names in connection with this case, pointing to another individual whose dark past has now come to light. On Halloween night of 1990, the tragic fate of 22-year-old Shauna Garber was sealed when she encountered Telfay Reeves along Highway 59 in Missouri. According to investigators, Reeves brutally restrained Garber, hog-tied her by bounding her wrists and feet, transported her to an abandoned farmhouse. It was there that he allegedly assaulted her and forcibly overdosed her with drugs in a desperate attempt to silence her screams. It wouldn't be for another 2 months that her body would finally be discovered, and decades before her true identity was even verified. For years, Shauna was only known as Grace Doe. Her true identity was obscured until technological advances in DNA analysis came into play. It was the very nature of her bindings that had initially led authorities to suspect the BTK killer had done it, as he was known for his heinous method of binding, torturing, and killing each one of his victims. Rader, currently serving multiple life sentences, has confessed to 10 murders, but denied any involvement in other cases such as this. The breakthrough and identification of the true suspect came with the enhancement of DNA technology, which in March of 2021 enabled investigators to extract and analyze DNA from Garber, identifying her first through familial DNA matching. This not only helped establish her identity, but also redirected the focus of the investigation towards Telfay Reeves, who had been a suspect alongside Rader and Hall. Reeves, who died on November 15th of 2021, was posthumously identified as the person responsible for Garber's death. This conclusion was supported by multiple witness testimonies collected over the years, which, despite their initial reluctance, painted a consistent picture of the events that transpired that fateful night. Essentially, over the years, more than six people had come forward, unaware that anyone else had done the same and told the same story of Reeves picking her up and taking her to that farmhouse. I guess he spoke a lot about it. And piecing the stories together, which were all the same, they were able to verify it happened, and so finally they got their man. Shauna's life, marked by tremendous hardship, included being born in a car, surviving an arson attempt by her mother, a failed adoption, and tumultuous years in foster care. Her half-sister Danielle Pixler reflects on the relentless challenges Shauna faced, which tragically culminated in her untimely death. Despite the resolution of the case, Pixler vows to continue seeking answers and ensuring that Shauna's story is told, refusing to let her sister be forgotten. Number 1. Former beauty queen goes insane. The story of Patricia and Bobby Sexton reads like a morbid, modern-day Southern tragedy, entwined with elements of forbidden love, betrayal, and straight-up cold-blooded murder. Happening over the course of several years in the 1990s in Jacksonville, Texas, this real-life drama unfolds with Patricia and Bobby, a country boy at heart, who was significantly older and already married with children when they first met. Their illicit affair not only scandalized their small town, but it also set the stage for a series of events that culminated in murder. The pair began their relationship when Bobby was introduced to Patricia by her aunt, Lisa Sexton, despite him being a married man with teenage children. Their affair quickly deepened, leading Bobby to divorce his wife in 1991 after discovering Patricia was pregnant. The new couple then married and ended up having three daughters of their own. Bobby suffered an injury after a roofing accident that placed him out of work. He had to have a metal rod inserted into his back just so he could walk. Not long after that, Patricia faced a battle with ovarian cancer that ended with a life-saving hysterectomy. These medical issues put a strain on their marriage, with Patricia claiming Bobby resented her for not being able to bear more children, exasperating the tension that already existed due to their financial pressures. The real mystery then began with a call to the Cherokee County Sheriff's Office on February 21st of 1998 by a nervous Patricia reporting that Bobby had gone missing. His body would go on to be discovered about a month later in a remote swampland, a victim of a shotgun blast right to the chest. The investigation quickly revealed a complex web of relationships and resentments involving family, friends, and co-workers. Initial suspicions fell on a man named Al Clark, family friend with a criminal past who had driven Bobby's abandoned vehicle back to the Sexton home. It was Patricia who called police with this information, saying he had somehow found the car, but this was just a diversion tactic from her. The case took a turn when police interrogated a man named Willie Wright, who after being arrested for public intoxication on St. Patrick's Day, just voluntarily confessed his involvement in the murder. Wright's confession revealed that he and another man, Michael Fielding, had conspired in the killing driven by Patricia's secret affair with Fielding. Wright's confession implicated Patricia and Fielding in an ongoing affair and suggested that Bobby's discovery of it led to his murder. And while Patricia denied it, the police got Fielding to talk, who was hoping for a plea deal as he claimed the plot had been masterminded by Patricia and her grandmother, Dorothy Bingham, to prevent Bobby from taking their children in a potential divorce. The alleged motive was further complicated by financial incentives related to Bobby's disability claim which would now go to Patricia in the event of his death. Patricia and Dorothy would go on to be charged with capital murder, with Patty receiving a life sentence while Dorothy, despite being convicted, served less than 3 years due to an appellate court decision. Fielding accepted a plea bargain for a 35-year sentence. The case against Wright dissolved after he died before the trial even took place, removing a key witness from the prosecution's lineup. Despite the convictions, Patricia maintains her innocence to this day, claiming she was framed in a plot she had no part in. And she would have got away with it too, had it not been for the liquid courage that fueled old Willie to go and run his mouth. They were the Strange and Scary Mysteries of the Month for April 2024. Hope you guys enjoyed it. If you did and you want more content from us, check out either our Everytown podcast or our Scary Mysteries YouTube channel, where you can watch all these episodes if you'd like. Thanks so much for stopping by and keeping me company. Y'all watch your backs out there. I'll see you in the next one.